you've been paying attention.
Guys, we're not going to be able to stay too much longer, but we've got a good little roof over there.
Yeah.
You guys want? So if you guys want, I mean, either we can turn in, or we've got a little area there.
You can hang out over there.
But I'm going to give it a bit more.
I'm going to see what the other guys are doing right now.
They're doing nothing.
Yeah, they got to get in. Now.
Taylor.
Yeah, Phil. Yes.
I'm not a meteorologist. But you do understand what I'm saying. Storm going north from here, and there's lighter clouds.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have to get the tail edge of it. Yeah, we're gonna miss it. Most. They always move north. Gulf Stream or?
No, we're not in the Gulf.
I mean, what's the westerly? No, it's westerly.
Storms trend towards water, so they trend towards the Ottawa River.
I thought they came from, because the water was precipitating out of...
It's a silly way of explaining it, but it's like a pair of pants. So let's say Ottawa is the crotch, Cornwall's on water, Hawkesbury's on water.
Yeah.
So let's say the Cornwall and Hawkesbury are the legs of the pants. That's where the storms go. They split up. And we have this weird, serendipitous bit of Vancouver Hills where, for the most part, we do really miss most of the storms.
Yeah.
Not counting the ice storm, where we were actually officially declared the epicenter of the storm.
Hmm. That was an interesting storm. That was just a heat mass, actually.
Down to 1,800 people lost 2,500 telephone poles.
Wait, how many people were out?
No, Bankley Hill has 1,800 people.
Is it? Really?
Yeah. And we lost 2,500 telephone poles in the excellence.
That's a lot of telephone poles, huh?
1.2 per person.
Yeah.
Or 1.12 per person.
Do you want to go under a roof?
This is kind of refreshing. But yeah.
Yeah, just under here is fine. I mean, like, under here. Just stay here, don't go too far in. Actually, let's see, I don't know where Loretta is. Loretta? Hey, there we go. I'm just gonna guide people over to here, because, I'm going to just figure out if they're staying over there or coming back with us. They're going to have to stay up. Oh, really? You're coming with me? Okay. It's insanity, my friend. What? It is an insanity, eh? I don't know what's that, though. You'll know how to tell the story better. Okay, guys, you've got the... Okay, what the heck is that? Oh, you've got a lit barbecue.
This is a barbecue, and it's going over here.
Okay, follow me. Come here. Actually, wait, you're going the right way. Good. Oh, my God. Come here. Do you think you'll be okay under a tree or just no rain? Come here. Just like right here on the grass, should be fine.
Alright.
Not too close to the... what is that?
Yeah.
Abachi.
If you can make it maybe more central, just would feel... I'll let you carry it, or if I can carry it if you want.
Oh yeah, whatever, man. I mean, like, it's barbecue with...
Oh man. So what are you making up here, man?
We got some burgers.
Yeah? How many?
Two. I don't know.
I'm joking, man.
There's four vegetarian burgers on there.
What did you call them?
And
vegetarian?
Vegetarian.
So you've got meat and vegetable and stuff. Nice.
Well, I think this is the only veggie thing.
And I have no way of flipping these burgers.
There's no way to flip them? Okay, I've got a spatula in the bus, so hold up, boys. Does it give me a quarter of a burger? I'm hungry. No, dude. Spatula.
Oh, dude, spatula.
Spatula City. Let me know how they turn out. Hey, do you have your camera case? Okay. Hey? Oh, that's okay. I have the rain coming in. Yeah, eh? Tell you what, I'll go to the house. I'll come back. All the windows on the west side of the house are shut nicely. And some of the north too. Thank you. Please and thank you. Doing up to now? Yeah? Why couldn't you sleep? Thank you.
explain it to you.
How are you going to spell it? Can you give me a preview right now? Like, don't worry about draw you. Just do it with your hands and I'll follow you.
It's the whole, you had two completely unkeleton musicians giving you a hard time, and you are an amazing drummer, but you had the garbagest guitarist of all time, and Little Jeff, who's not a singer, he just dances and shouts and shakes.
But it takes balls to get up here to do that in front of people.
Oh yeah.
Get that. But so you had the two of us. Every time you open your mouth, did I just hear something from the drummer? You're not allowed to talk.
We are.
So you're a musician. We are not. We're comedy. Jeff and I are comedy. You are a musician. So we're up there ostensibly playing music, and you're the musician. And so the whole time, the two people that can't play music are giving the musician a hard time. That is comedy.
Who's that bald guy with David Letterman?
Paul Schaefer.
Paul Schaefer. So I'm Paul Schaefer to your David Letterman?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, he's a musician.
What,
you're not... Yeah, David Letterman never...
It's not the right analogy.
Oh, I see.
You are. I don't know. I can't give you a pop culture reference.
Really? You can't compare me to a pop culture reference?
I can't do it right now.
Oh, okay.
Bring it. Smoke it. Bring it and smoke it.
Oh man, grab a chair, old man. Grab a chair. Oh, fuck. Sing like.
You don't want to sit down.
You sit down, man. I thought you were dying. Scared me. Hey, you want a chair, Mr. Dave? Super Dave?
I'm heading back, Ben.
Dude, yeah?
Yeah,
you're going tight there. You're going, yeah, back, yeah. Okay, buddy. It's a pretty cool hibachi there, and yeah.
It was good.
I just have to get the wheel to move.
Rain's letting up and haven't heard thunder in a while, so.
No, that's it. A little downwards.
So, apparently,
did everybody see all
take it easy, buddy.
My weather forecast was like bang on the money, by the way.
See you in the morning.
It's all going north.
Yeah.
Do you remember I said we wouldn't get the storm? What? Do you remember I said we wouldn't get the storm?
We got the edge of it. Like, we got the rain, right?
We didn't even get the rain. We got the, like, shushusha.
Ha ha ha,
as the pipe please if possible.
Amazing hashasha, whatever. Anyways, Phil, this has been a success, and I do say that
glorious.
I think Thunder in Paradise has a place. Just have to tweak the timing. It definitely has to be for the later crowd. That's why I would have we're almost working on a success. Okay. Maybe we would make that a Friday night showing or something. Mm-hmm. Hardcore stuff.
Yeah. Let's... Hey. This isn't a grand bar, I think.
show that three of us put on, and with help from Tama. It's a late night Blue Ravine. Music is not... Anyway, musical talent is not the emphasis. The presence is the emphasis.
Yeah.
That is...
We have good stage presence.
What do you mean?
I think it's really good stage presence.
But that's the entirety of the show. I mean, whatever songs you wind up pushing, the show is built around stage presence.
Yeah.
And it's
stage presence, man. Yeah, you're right. I know you got it. Jeff's got it. I got it. That's why I want to do a zombie short, by the way. So bad.
The combination there. The reason why in the middle of I Think We're Alone Now, we scream drum solos. It's to highlight the joke. Jeff Funder, I'm Paradise. You're in. You're not getting any credit for any of the work you do. But then when we shout drum solo, you show us off as being, without a doubt. If you added up Jeff and I's musical talent 100-fold, we would be able to theoretically almost play the drum solo that you could do.
You like this?
We're good. You liked it.
Yeah.
You're amazing. But that's the joke. So the one really good musician in the band is the guy that continually gets crapped on.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know what? You should definitely give me a hard time after the solo and kind of just say, you know, say that. Should have ramped it up a bit there.
The whole joke is you're in.
Yeah.
Thunder. Paradise. But you're by far the best musician. So we can't, the whole joke of the story is you are going to, on a show-by-show basis, outperform us as a musician.
Now, couldn't we do some opportunities where, say, I want to do some comedy, and then someone else does music? Like, say I hop on guitar or something, and you go on drums or something, or... You know, so you show off that you're a shitty drummer and I'm a really good guitarist. So I could have some sort of room to... Because you're a drummer too, dude. So you know you could do it.
I look at it as being funny. It'd just be like me going...
You'd be singing too. You'd still be singing.
I think the way you did it was really cool. I really liked that one. And everybody did.
Well, I gotta just say, it was good to have Pat or someone on bass, like, for me to feed off musically, because that was able to keep me going, like, you know.
The whole thing, and the way we envision it, is that no matter what happens, is we're gonna find a way for you to have a showcase where we show drum solo.
Yeah.
And you just explode, and you do whatever the hell you want on drums.
All right.
Yeah.
Remember, Taylor, the time you said that? I can't remember. You said something on them.
No, what did I say?
If I remember to tell you. But
what was it about?
It was and I told this to everyone. I was like, did you hear what Taylor said? He was like, you really gave it to me hard, or something like that.
At the brewery, yeah, stupid.
You said something.
Wood or something, I don't know.
I laughed for like 2 weeks. And like on your end. You were just...
What?
Oh shit, that was mean. Sorry, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Paul. Oh, he left this hibachi. What do you want to do, man?
What do you want to do?
Well, I don't really want it to end, but I'm running low on energy. I'm thinking I would want to be watching some movies. And I would have, you know, a few bottles with you, you know. So if you're down with that, you know, we can watch, we've got...
Look at this cloud.
Why not? Yeah?
What an amazing pattern.
Yeah, they're not bad, eh? Be a weatherman.
Did I call that or what?
Yeah, you did pretty good.
I specifically said, there's a storm. Like, there was a storm of massive proportions, and I said it was going to go completely north of us, and we were not getting anything, and we're getting nothing but sprinkles.
Yeah, no, like, we got the edge of it. Like, this is, I'm saying, you know, the edge, you know, we're getting the sprinkles. We're getting, we're touching.
Did I call that or
yeah,
call
you,
it?
Yeah, you called it, yeah.
I called it.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay, what do you want to do? You heard what I wanted to do? We can ask Loretta what she wants to do. That way, it's like a try thing. Try or whatever can not happen.
Two beers. And that's our ending of the night. And we can look for stars and wander about.
Okay, sure. You can do that moonlit thing going to the lake.
Well,
the lake's hard. Okay. Okay, well, we would go up in the loft. Or you want to walk around at the... Yeah, we can do it around the barn. Do you want to go...
We just want to talk about wander and then, like, this way, so if you're going.
Okay, that's fine.
I went pacing.
Yeah, he where he can stagger to.
Okay. Now, okay, you want me to grab some bottles?
Oh, don't please.
What do you think, Laura?
Your bottles are really old and gross.
Yeah?
I'm going to get some of Jed.
Are they that noticeable?
Yeah, Taylor, I've been telling you for a long time.
I know, I gotta clean out the fridge.
Beers from March are not servable.
Okay.
Because they're underfilled. They were already...
I try and drink those myself. Yeah. I guess some have slipped through my fingers. Hey, whoa, actually, how old can a beer be? Hey, Phil.
Is it underfilled? Really? Rid of it after, like, 3 weeks.
Okay. So, month is too old. Okay. Oh, damn. I have to have more of these parties.
If you're charging for them, 2 weeks. If you give them away, 3 weeks.
See, they have a palate for beer. I don't have a beer palate.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So... I'll talk with Phil a bit about that. Anyways, what do you feel like doing?
Whatever you guys want to
do. Okay, well, basically, I guess Phil wants to...
End either, so
huh?
I don't really want it to end either. So.
No. I'm thinking the loft would be a lot more comfortable for me.
Yeah.
But Phil is right. It's nice outside. And it's, you know, it's beautiful. But I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of wondering what I should do. So, what do you do? Well, like, wandering 5 feet... You know what? We have one more beer with him.
Okay.
And then we see where we're at then.
Okay.
You know, depends on how long it takes for the beers, but I still kind of would be up for kind of watching something or whatever, but we'll have to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll shut down the loft.
Mm-hmm.
If, actually, you know what? I'm going to shut down half of it right now.
Sorry?
I'll shut down half, well, sorry, one, we'll see. But by the night's end, I'm going to shut half of the lock down, so that way, yeah. Hey, good stuff. You got your bottle opener, right?
Yep.
Cool, dude. Thank you. How is it out there?
Glorious.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're enjoying your time?
Boy.
Yeah?
Love it here.
Should, what do you think about me trying to get people to amalgamate their parties here? Like, I don't really like competing with parties at the same time. For example, I have a friend who has his birthday this weekend. As an events coordinator, I either would say, okay, well, hey, I can offer to host your birthday party or something. Or I want to be present for those parties. They're always held on the weekend, too. So, I don't know, your birthday would be interesting to have here.
Kind of cold.
Really? Come on. Not really.
November?
Yeah, so? My dad is on the 25th. We have a party for him. But the thing is...
Well, of course, it's your dad. You don't have a choice.
Yeah, well, I have a party too. But I mean, a friend's party could be like, I could always host, like, hey, you want to celebrate? And it doesn't have to be on your actual birthday, but I'll host, like, a party in your honor kind of thing. I want to start doing that, you know? I can easily do that. Bring you musicians and got the beer connection, I've got the music connection, I have the space and the interest in doing it. Could have been a molecular geneticist, dude, or a lawyer, but no. I mean, university, I knew I had the capacity to do this.
Why don't you go back and do that?
No, I'm more fulfilled here. Thing is intellectually I know that I'm going to have to strain my skills by getting this place self-sustained. That's going to be, like, I have to do the research and all that. And it's all the materials out there, but I just have to get my, focus on learning all those things. Right now, my thing is I'm an events coordinator. I'm focused on parties and getting more people here and money levels up, My biggest thing is I have to get the numbers coming. And, I can't really charge more here unless I've got more things to kind of offer. So, I like $20 per day. So I'm just thinking music, a band camp like this, I think everyone benefits. Movie nights, by the way. What do you think a market for, camping trips, but, like, people... Instead of going to see a movie, come out to camp here, but I have a movie playing in the lot, kind of thing. I mean, you figure you take a trip to Grenville, you're going to pay, what, 15? 10 bucks? I don't know how much is a movie at Grenville?
It's 8 per person.
It's 8 per person, so, I mean...
I'm not sure. But that might be cheap nights.
Yeah, so you figure here, 20 bucks, right? But say, okay, I have a campfire, I have a movie, I have a poker game, I have, that's a pretty good soiree. And I'm just figuring, I want to start kind of marketing that. I'll have to talk with Lindo, and I want if I can get some Bose-sponsored events here. He said, what would be cool to have here that Bose would like an art gallery. I was thinking having a vernissage for our graphic designer, Jordan. But as an artist, though, you probably could see the merit of it, right?
I don't know.
vacation.
Oh, you are, my friend. But I'm not talking about work. Talking about, yeah, but it's in a different context. Stuff I'm doing, don't worry. You know, it's everything that you already know, man. You know I want to make this place self-sustained and stuff. Just have to get a bit more funds, raise up, you know, money for a windmill, and maybe fundraisers are where it's at. Hey, yeah. Because that's my, you know, vision is, you know, I'll buy a windmill. Okay, I need, you know, $60,000. Oh, I'll have a donation drive or something. Concert, benefit concert. Get that money. And then once I've got that, the artist or whatever gets the rest. Like, I just need that windmill. So, I get, that's my price. I could easily have like 500 people on these grounds, you know. Could be just, you know, one concert, you know, into something, you know, we kind of give everyone a heads up, kind of thing. It's like a private party, right? But
well, you know, capacity is no problem. So, I mean, the main thing is what you need is a headlining draw that will.
So I'm thinking if I can make a draw with the music scene, like musicians networking and stuff, I think that, because I mean right now, like I've held 2 events and already I can see Ian and Ike can brought me another band, you know? I'm still on talking terms with Bad Doctor, who knows if I can get them, they might bring a band in, you know? I think there's a kind of a reproduction rate there that, you know, if I can get the new bands coming, or these bands, you know, and
what you need is a band that can help promote. It doesn't matter how many bands you invite. Look, I had a meeting on site with Thought Project, Judd, Thunder in Paradise. Believe me, Thunder in Paradise, not going to draw any crowds. Actually,
well, what about the crowds?
We probably could draw you, but...
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
But,
what kind of people, though?
The important part of the story is, if you want to do this, what you need to do is get a band that will self-promote and get the 500 people that you need to really turn the money around. I don't have the slightest clue how to do that.
Self-promote. I do. I'm going to do a bunch of different media releases. I already have a short film, so I'm going to do a zombie movie that I want to release, like a little solo album.
No, forget.
Self-promote.
The venue is what you pitch to the bands, and then the bands bring the crowds.
Okay. But I can have a few videos. Now I've got some footage of how bands sound in here and the type of vibe. Like, to start attracting bigger bands to come here, what do? I would just post YouTube videos and say, hey, we're just an underground scene, and I would keep, you know, showcasing, hey, this is, you know, I've got up-and-comers playing here. How about you guys, you know? No? But that's one way I see it. That's how I figure it might work. You know, kind of draw a little, like, okay, make a scene. If it's a band camp and I start inviting, like, hey, you know, Steve Morris, come and do a guitar solo workshop, you know.
I can't think of...
Dave Grohl, man. Yeah, drums, man.
Yeah. If you got Dave Grohl, he'd be okay.
Yeah, man. No, Foo Fighters, I had that poll, by the way, and I didn't get a whole lot of... By the way, when I message on behalf of, like, the Grand Bonner and stuff to you on Facebook, how does that go? There's not too much clutter in your inbox, is there?
No, it's fine.
Okay, because I try and use, you know, once a month. I'm very low on messages. It's good. You got, you know, people have so many messages, right? So it's like, meow. And the people who care and will want to put in their calendars, I know they'll get it. The people who kind of just want to support me, but I don't have time, I can just delete it or whatever. Or I can archive it like I do.
The first thing you should do is get in touch with Brent. And the brand,
Yeah.
You asked me for my advice on how to bring a show out. I have none because I don't do that. I don't know how to do that. I tried to do that for the Lucky Ron show. They got 11 people, and they booked a bus, and Jeff Farnworth and Eric Cottonware and some other guy were the entire capacity of a bus.
It was our bus, man. That was our social network, but for Lucky, I'm surprised that, like, who got the word getting out was through Facebook, right? Like, who did the promotion for the first Lucky Ron show?
Well, anyways, this was at a point where kind of things with the branch were going into breakup mode.
Really?
Yeah, well, yeah, Brent's not really with the branch anymore.
I know that. I don't know what happened there, but...
creative differences. But anyways, the important part of the story is get in touch with him. He's got so many contacts. He can help you out so much, and he will help you out. That's his nature.
Well, I mean, yeah. I put the invite out to him. Maybe I should just tell him, hey, come over here. Sometimes,
Oh. What you're going to do is you're going to ask Brent. Brent has an idea of what your place is about. He's in Kempville. And you can get him to come out and see what the place is about if you want. But what you want to do is ask Brent, you know, what bands do you know that will self-promote and bring a crowd? Because the whole thing is, I mean... You're not doing, well, first and foremost, we're in Bagley Kill. I mean, you could poster every telephone pole in town and be like...
But I got leads in Ottawa, though.
Well, I know.
And I've got leads, like I've got a social network, you know, 600 strong. So I've got, like, connections into the pipeline, dude. Like, the lineage, the name's out there. Like, the barn is out there, man. Like, we're in places...
All I'm saying, if you're talking about turning people that think fondly of you into money, what you need is a band. At the end of the day, okay, this whole place,
yeah,
for me personally, I don't need a reason to come here. I love coming here. Mm-hmm. I love this place.
But how do I get more people to come? Like, I can understand, okay, some people will only want to come 3 times a summer, but how would I get a frequency where I can have, like, okay, a basic good number of people, enough word out so I can have sustainable, like, right now we're not for profit, you know that, right? We're not making, you know, it's a hard time, right? Recessions and all that.
You're trying to cover your costs.
Yeah.
I get that. What you need, and this is what I keep talking about. If you want to focus on the music end of it,
that's one thing I can get going. Yes.
What you need is a band that will self promote.
All right. Cool.
So a band that will self promote will bring, let's say, even just 100 people. You have 100 people that come out, they pay the, you know, say $10 to be here. So 100 times $10 is $1,000 there. And then let's say one third of them spend $10 on food. That's 300 times $10. That's another something.
Yeah.
The math brain.
Oh, don't worry, fuck. I don't have the math brain.
You know how I have it going on usually, but it's
yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. I don't. It's gobbledygook to me too. It's a big number, right? So
300 people.
300 times how what?
300 people spend $10. That's $3,000.
$3,000. Yeah. Plus
so, right there, just
if you get that, that's...
Wait a minute. So we have 100 people at $20 is... How much? 2,000. Okay. That, wait, 100? Yeah.
It's 2,000 on entrance?
No, $20? No.
$20
times 100. It would be 3 zeros.
Yes, that's 2,000.
Oh wait, hold on. 100 and... Yeah.
Yeah.
100 people times 20. $1,000.
Okay, and then if they all buy suckers at $10, again, that's another 10 times 100 is 1,000, so it's 3,000 is the total, okay.
Yeah, $2,000 at a gate.
Yeah.
You got 100 people. We're going to divide that by 3, because that's what we'll do.
That's the different parties that are involved? How do you determine percentages? Like, I guess everyone...
One second. If 100 people, so
3,000, right?
A third would be 33 times $10. Seems low. You add up your margins. There's no way around this fact.
So $3,000 could be raised. I would say, you know, obviously the food costs and there's ground fees, but I mean, two-thirds for us, one-third for the band, half-half maybe?
There's different ratios you can work out.
Maybe, you know, we split on ground fees, but we get profit for the food and they get profit for the merchandise.
Well,
that could work.
What I just worked out, like I said, 100 people, oops, 100 people pay $20. $100 times 20. $2,000 of gate revenue. And that's great cash if you get all of it.
Right, even just splitting 50-50.
But
what?
You probably won't, because you have to pay the bank. So you have $2,000 of cash there.
Pay another partner, you mean? Pay the bank? That's an awfully tough thing.
And then, you figure, of the 100, 33 will eat $10 worth of food.
$330?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you bring 100 people in here on any given night at $20 for entrance and $10 for food, you're at $23.30 revenue.
Huh.
Not profit, but gross.
Okay.
So what you need to figure out is, I don't know if you look at this. What you need to figure out is the day-to-day operating costs with the hydro, the phone, the everything else.
Okay.
And that's going to tell you what you need to set your price points at for any future endeavor that you do. So if it costs you, let's say, obviously, we just said you make $23.30 on a night where you get 100 people. If it costs you $1,000 a day to maintain this place, that is not what it costs. I know it doesn't. Obviously, you need to at least make $1,000
or you lose money. So you have to, what you have to do is go through your hydro bills, your phone bills, your everything else, and put together a realistic picture of what it costs you every single day to be the grand bargain.
You just do run an average?
Figure it out, yeah. And then what you need to do is build your cost structure so that when you bring in revenue, you're not just kind of shooting in the dark saying, will this bring people in or whatever. A year or two.
Scott. She's right there. Scott, hold him up.
Oh, now that's so sweet.
She didn't bring it for us.
She brought it right to us.
No, the kitten's here. I'm gonna eat the mouse right here. And Precious just fucking...
Oh, right.
He's gonna eat right in front of us. You're moving, Loretta. Oh, it's gone. It's gone.
Yeah,
it's life, Loretta. It is life. This is a natural thing.
It's a circle.
I don't like.
Yeah. But that's... But that's it. It's kind of like, that's the natural world we're disconnected from. We're still insulated. Even though we'll take our clothes off, we still aren't really connected.
I have no problem with that.
You have no problem with that? Oh, I don't want to eat raw mice, but I'm saying, hey, I can't even catch mice. I thought it's a deer.
Have you seen
food.
Man vs. Wild?
I've heard it, and I think I've seen a bit of it, but... The guy just throws himself into, like, I've seen Survivor Guy or Survivor Man.
Yeah, Survivor Man. Survivor Man can't hold a candle to this guy.
Really?
Yeah, because this guy, he'll be in the wild, and he'll catch a fish, and he'll be like, right, there's no point in cooking it. If I cook this, I'm in a survival situation. I'm actually going to boil away nutrients. Valuable minerals that are contained in the side of the body of this fish. So what I'm going to do is, it's still alive, I'm going to bite into it, and to be, so that I don't make it suffer, I'm going to bite through its spinal cord in the first bite. And that's how he describes it. He's like, and you actually, goo just shoots out. And he catches it. He's like, oh, that was valuable calories. Just eating living fish. Yeah, man versus well.
Wow. So he's total, oh wow, okay.
I have no squabbles for eating anything. The only thing I have a problem with or factory farming processes, that's the only place where I get squeamish, is like, I don't like the commercial beef trade.
Slaughter houses, yeah.
Well, just, they're not right. But anyways.
Prisons. Conveyor belts. Yeah, it's really, we're using them as, you know what, like, I would be okay with hunting wild deer, you know, but everyone...
Ted Nugent?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote Cat Scratch Fever. He has not eaten any meat that he hasn't killed himself in over 20 years. He's also a complete and utter psychopath.
Psychopath?
Yeah, he's not a good person, but...
Oh.
One redeeming thing I'll say about him is, he believes in knowing where his food comes from.
Yeah.
Hey, little fella.
Yeah, that's where I want to be here. That's actually, you know what? I love meat, you know? I'll cook meat, though. I don't really want to... If I can't cook things, I'll just eat vegetables. I'm cool with that. Dry out veggies, whatever. You know, have it through the winter. Have a cow to milk, maybe.
You know, you meet some regular, like, they run into vegetarians and they're like, ooh,
you're a vegetarian or a vegan, and like, if the circumstance came up, I'd be a vegan. Circumstance came up, I'd be a carnivore. I am an omnivore. I love to eat. And the most delicious thing that comes my way will be the thing that I will eat. But I just, the whole
food dilemma, I just like to eat as
benevolently as I can.
I gotta start getting beef from farms around here. I mean, the local abattoir isn't... Well, actually, I guess that's it, eh? The abattoir is the commercial.
Well...
But at least it's the swipe. It's not,
even Lorignal Packing. You know, there's a place in Lorignal. Or even in Hawkesbury, there's a butcher there. And like, the meat's always better. You get a steak from them, you compare it to the steak you get at the grocery store. Oh, there's no comparison.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's it. Local, go to local. Just
price is the same.
Really?
Oh yeah. You know. There's a butcher in Hawkesbury, on Main Street, just outside of town. You go there, your price is the same. Meat is not. It's better.
They get their own cows to kill. Like, butcher sells what they kill, right?
It's not a farm. I mean, it's a butcher's, but...
But a butcher, they'll buy an animal and then they'll bring it, kill it, and dissect it themselves, right? That's mm-hmm. the point. Okay. Oh my, yeah.
Like, you get a T-bone from those guys? Uh-huh. You know, everyone keeps trying to tell me, no, you know, like the sirloin is better than T-bone. There's no bite of meat better than the sweet spot on a T-bone. And maybe the rest of the steak isn't as good as like that sirloin, but the sweet spot on a T-bone is the best bite of steak that you could ever have. And when you get it from the real butchers, you get a real T-bone. Oh, so beautiful. I love T-bones. I'm sorry. I'm busy dreaming about T-bones right now. I don't even remember what I was talking about.
I don't remember either.
I do.
Oh, butchers, Steve, yeah.
Anyway, what we were actually talking about
was the local stuff. Knowing where your food comes from. I honestly, I don't know. I probably wouldn't want to participate in a bow hunt of deer. You know? I could... Well, you know what? I don't know. Maybe I'm going to take it to a butcher or something.
I took up archery. I would much rather, you know... The way I figure it, anything you take out of the wild has lived a better life than something in the farm.
Yeah.
And so anything you can do to reduce the factory farm influence is good, but there's a limit to what our human ecosystem has done to, you know, the natural environment. So you can only hunt so much. Like, what I was going to say, in terms of the barn, the first thing you need to do, and this needs to be the absolute most important thing you do, is you go through your hydro bills, you go through your cable, television, or telephone, sorry, everything else, and you find out exactly what it costs you on a day-to-day basis to have the barn.
Okay.
And then what that's going to tell you, and this is the most important part, you will find out
how much it costs to be here. That will tell you how much net money you need to bring in to break even.
Yeah.
And without that knowledge, if you don't have that knowledge, it doesn't matter what kind of events you want to pull, like to increase attendance, like that. It's great to bring in money, but if you don't know what it costs, then, I mean, you need to break that down in terms of, like I said, everything, hydro, everything else. You figure that out, and you say it costs the barn X number of dollars per day to operate, which means we need to generate X number of dollars a day. And now if that means that you need to increase the base cost for, you know, hanging out, camping during the day, let's say you have 13 campers on an ongoing basis in the summer, and you know you need a certain amount of money, you have to bring your cost up to that point. Obviously, you can't lose money. You're not a charity. I mean, so you need to know how much it costs to run, to know how much you need to charge to exist.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, huh?
And then, for the shows, what you need to do, I don't want to tell you you need to do this, but what you really want to get, what you want to find out, and you know, you should, like I said, contact people like Brent. Bands that are open-minded, but are also extremely effective at self-promoting. So you get that 100 people in. Because, I mean, if you get, like I said, you get 100 people in. So you split it. There's 2,000, at 20 bucks coming in, you split it, that's $1,000 of revenue coming in.
Yeah. That's
a decent amount. If you did that every Saturday, there's 52 Saturdays per year, that's $52,000 coming in.
Out of the summer months, what, there's like, I'm just going to have to count it, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November are really the months where I can use the outside facilities, maybe even throw in March. December we could even do like a Christmas party, but okay, wow, that's not bad. If, what's 6 times 12?
72.
Okay.
You can do it.
I'm dying.
Okay. So that would, okay. That would be a big chunk for sure. Still have to do other things. Like working part-time at Bose. That's good. It's, anyways, let's not talk about work, right? Let's talk about Bose. Phil's on vacation. Those are good insights you're giving me, Phil. Thank you.
Yeah, so I mean, at the end of the day, you can't... No matter what, and this, you can make, you cannot make a plan until you know how much it costs per day to operate the barn.
That's the first task, okay.
So that
got it.
That has to be step one.
Yeah.
Until you know